Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. And Steve, we have a packed show today, and right off the bat, we have Ash Soler, who has some insight on some of the issues of the day.
Ash Soler is our communications director for the Republican Party of New Mexico. She brings a vibrant young look to the party. She has taken over the social media. Welcome, Ash Soler, to the program. She's from Las Cruces and is just one of my all-time favorites. She's got a very, very balanced view of all of the issues. So welcome, Ash Soler. Glad to have you on the program today. Tell people a little bit about your background and where you grew up. Just tell us about yourself.
Hi, Steve. It's great to be back with you today. As far as I go, I've been in Las Cruces since I was 11 years old. I was born in California and lived there until I was about 10, 11, and then moved here to New Mexico, where all my family is and all my family is from. And I've just grown up loving politics. I remember going to rallies for presidential candidates when they would come through town. We would campaign for them. I remember in school running for student council, running for different positions within the school. I remember just being very involved politically and coming from a family that really nurtured that part of me. It made sense for me to get involved with the Republican Party of New Mexico, especially because I was seeing so much of my state just go downhill. And so I'm here working as best I can because just like so many other people my age, I want to have a future in my state. I love my state. And I want to have a future here. And I want other people my age to feel like they have a strong, hopeful future ahead and lots of opportunity. So I'm doing the best I can.
Again, folks, we're visiting with Ash Soler. She is the communications director for Republican Party of New Mexico. Now, Derek, you had talked before we came on the program about the Supreme Court decisions this past week. Why don't you walk through those? Because I think that they have the potential to impact the rest of the country for decades to come. But introduce those, and I want to ask Ash her view on some of the Supreme Court decisions.
Sure.
Here we go.
Yeah. The student loan affirmation. President Biden ran on forgiving student loans. The court said that's unconstitutional. What are your thoughts from your point of view and your generation?
Well, I think that not just my generation, but I think a lot of generations right now that are struggling with inflation and the cost of everything do not want to have to pay off other people's debts when a lot of us are struggling with our own or just struggling to just afford basic necessities. It's really not fair, but it's really not fair to those students who Biden and the left are promising. It's not fair that they're telling them that this is a free thing. This is a free handout to you. This is a free debt forgiveness. It sounds so wonderful. I mean, who's not going to want that? If someone comes up to you and says, I'm going to relieve your debt, you're going to think that's the best thing in the world. But what's really sad is that the truth is not being told to any of these young people, especially, that nothing is free. The biggest lie that's being pushed is that the government can forgive a debt or give anything away for free. The government doesn't have money. The only money the government has is our money, our taxes. So anytime that they're saying, I'm going to forgive your debt, that means I'm going to take more money in order to give more money. So you're not getting anything for free. Now, who they take that money from becomes the problem. And we've learned from a lot of introspection into how this is going to play out is that people my age are going to be the ones paying for it. Particularly the middle class is going to be paying for it. Now, that's just one part of it. But what's really not fair is that the people who didn't take out these loans are paying for them. And not only that, but think about New Mexico. We're one of the poorest states. Our taxes are going to go up to pay for loan forgiveness. And the top 64% of earners are the ones benefiting. Up to, I think it was like somewhere around $120,000, $150,000 income earners are benefiting from our taxes. We're helping to pay off the debts of people who probably make 2-3 times more than us in New Mexico. And that's really, I think, a shocking statistic that was not thrown out there. And so none of it wound up helping the lower income people like they were promising so much.
One of the things that really stands out is that Nancy Pelosi herself said that Joe Biden did not have the power to implement this by himself.
People think that the president of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone, he can delay, But he does not have that power. That would that has to be an act of Congress. President can't do it. So that's not even a discussion. Not everybody realizes that, but the president can only postpone, delay, but not forgive.
But like Ash was saying, the people who really were going to benefit are the rich. The poor families can't send their kids to college, and so it's the rich families who are going to get their kids' college paid for. But another one of the demographics that was going to benefit greatly were people over 50. Why should people who are Ash's age pay for people who are over 50 years old? They've had plenty of time to pay this off. They simply were stringing it out. And so now then, Joe Biden was going to pay off their debt. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't think it should occur because like Ash says, the government doesn't have money. What they have to do is take money from you in the form of taxes and pay for people who are rich and people who are over 50. I never saw the fairness in the whole plan, especially think of people like Ash mentioned who worked their way through college. I knew a lot of people. I worked jobs in the summertime, 12-hour days in the oil field in order to pay for my college. My family helped somewhat, but I came out with no student debt. And so those students who work two jobs, raise a family, go to college and pay for it all themselves, they get penalized for the people who don't pay their college loans.
We'll be right back to discuss more of the Supreme Court rulings with Ash Solar and Steve Pierce in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as we continue our conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, and Ash Solar, who takes care of digital media and communications for the Republican Party of New Mexico. Ash, the Supreme Court decided that admission to higher learning to our colleges in America should be decided by merit, not by the color of your skin.
I think that this ruling was really a victory for all minorities, which is the opposite of how it's been framed. I'm a Hispanic woman, and I think that if I were to get a job somewhere and they wound up telling me, well, we're really just hiring you because you're a Hispanic woman, and it's really not based off of how good you are at the job or how well we think that you're going to do here. It's just based off of your identity. I think that that would be very offensive to me, and it would make me feel inferior to the people who are there because they're good at their job. And I think that the problem is that minorities are good at their job. The real equality is recognizing that everyone is brilliant, has the ability to be excellent at their job, has their ability to work hard. It doesn't matter their skin tone. We've come to this conclusion years and years ago, but the left keeps trying to push it in our face that race matters somehow in all this. No, it doesn't. I believe that minorities of any race have just as equal ability to succeed as any other race. And that's what this ruling against affirmative action is recognizing, that by your own merit, all races have the ability to succeed on. And they don't need an extra push by saying they may not be that good, but we're going to let them in on their race. They don't need that. We don't need that. So I think it's a win for equality. And I think that it's really racist, this thinking that minorities somehow need a leg up or help to get into these places, because in 2023, we should all recognize that every person of every race and color has every single quality, ability of anyone else. And it's time that we recognize that. And many of us already did, but apparently on the left, they have a problem with that.
The cream will always rise to the top, but I have to take a quote from the TV show All in the Family. When they started all this affirmative action back in the 70s, there was a quote on there, very creative, that under affirmative action rules, that 30% of the Harlem Globetrotters would have to be white.
So I lived through the period when affirmative action kicked in, and there were arguments for doing so. But like Ashley says, that time is long past, that minority candidates from every demographic are able to compete standing on their own and to somehow give undue preference to them, takes away from their abilities, takes away from their accomplishments. And so the Supreme Court says no more. And good for them, because one of the most powerful emotions of the human spirit is the power of earned success. And when you are able to tell your family, I paid for this house and I paid for your college education, on the other side, to not be able to say that you paid for anything, that you got it all handed to you as a gift, then that takes away one of the powerful human emotions of earned success. So again, Supreme Court power pack decisions. There was a third decision that, again, sent shockwaves through the system and the left went crazy over it. But the Supreme Court, and I think it was a 9-0 vote, said that the U.S. Postal Service could not make a man work on Sundays when that was the day reserved for his faith practices. The Postal Service had taken action against him. And so the Supreme Court got to hear that case and I think ruled 9-0 that he has the right to not make deliveries on the day that's critical to his faith. Now, keep in mind that the Postal Service hasn't worked on Sundays in decades until Amazon started their contracts, and now they have to deliver Amazon packages. When I was in Congress, Amazon was getting a kickback of $1, $1.50 for everything they sent through the Postal Service. And so here the U.S. government was subsidizing Jeff Bezos, the richest guy in the world. Why do we need to subsidize the rich? I don't think that we should, but especially I don't think that we should take away someone's religious freedom in order for him to have to deliver Amazon packages on a Sunday. So again, a huge decision coming out of the Supreme Court just this last week. These are things that will change the landscape of the country for decades to come. You can like President Trump, you can hate him, but I will tell you that he had the ability to appoint three new members to the court. They are making conservative decisions that, again, I think will impact life in positive ways for generations to come.
Yeah, I really think that this Supreme Court decision, for me, was a huge win for religious liberty. I keep the Sabbath. And I am a Messianic Jewish believer, so I keep it on Saturday. And to me, without my Sabbath, my rest of my week is just unbearable. It's too crazy. And I think that for many people, the Sabbath, whether they keep it on Sundays or Saturdays, it is a big part of their productivity for the rest of the week. Having that day of rest, having that day with God to rejuvenate is going to set off the rest of the week in a positive manner.
Again, folks, you were listening just now to Ash Sogar. She's been with us in these first two segments of the program today, talking about the Supreme Court decisions, talking about some of her values as a millennial voter. And God bless you, Ash, for taking on the fight to be staying in New Mexico and trying to make it a better place to live. Again, Ash Sogar, the communications director for RPNM, the Republican Party of New Mexico. Thanks and good luck to you in all that you do.
Thanks, Chairman. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Ash and Steve. Coming up in our next segment, Steve Pierce will be talking to Stephanie Lord. She represents the 22nd District of New Mexico, and she's getting a lot of attention for telling it like it is. Hope you'll stay with us on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce.
Derek, as I mentioned in the opening of the show, I've got a special guest, Representative Stephanie Lord. I remember her from the days of the Tea Party. She came into Hobbs from Albuquerque and just grabbed my attention right off the bat when she decided to run for state house. I was excited because we need fresh new voices, people with different points of view, and Stephanie brings that. But she's not only getting attention in New Mexico, she's getting attention throughout the nation. So I wanted Stephanie to talk a little bit about the posts that she's putting up, the following that she's getting, and some of the interviews that she's getting nationwide. Representative Lord, nice to talk to you. Thanks for being on the program with us. Before we get started, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you came from, where you grew up, where you live, and where you represent.
Absolutely. First of all, Steve, thank you so much for having me on. I truly appreciate it. And yes, I am twice elected representative in the House of Representatives in Santa Fe. I am in District 22, which was primarily the East Mountains, but now I have parts of Albuquerque and Torrance County. Gerrymandering going on, but actually didn't hurt me that much as it did other people. We moved here. My husband got recruited to work here, and we moved here about 6 years ago. Fell in love with the state. Absolutely fell. I love this place. I love the people. I even have a bunch of Democrats in my district that I love. Unfortunately, as everybody knows, the politics has gone very radical progressive, and that has been harming New Mexico. So I did start, I found a pro-gun women. I started very much as an activist, and then I got recruited. I never wanted to run for office, and I got recruited by Senator Spades, and I said yes, and here I am fighting for the people.
Talk to us a little bit about the national attention you're getting.
Well, I didn't expect this at all. All I put out, and this was, I think, a little over a week ago, I put, thanks, Joe Biden. So my husband's retired, living on a budget, and a lot of people don't know we don't get paid as representative. We do get per diem, we don't get paid. So we've been on a budget since Biden came into office because things have gone up. Gas has gone up, eggs have gone up, medical, everything has gone up. So we were very fortunate that we had some income coming in, and we were able to afford the groceries that we normally buy, which is, I live in the East Mountains. We stocked up on nuts and berries and chicken thighs and broccoli and a bunch of other things, and including paper towels and razors and things that we need around the house. I was mortified when the bill came out to $799.38, and that's for 58 items. So we posted that saying, wow, because everyone's talking about how much food prices have gone up. I got 8.7 million views. It's been shared thousands of times. It's been bookmarked. And I ended up, I think CNN discussed it. It was on front page of Newsweek. It was front page Yahoo, Apple News, MSNBC. Everybody covered it. It was unbelievable. I had no idea that it would go that far, but I struck a nerve, right? So everyone started attacking me, which is kind of funny. They were trying to shame me, but it didn't work. That's really hard to do. And what they did is they made themselves look foolish, especially when they went under a post about my father for Father's Day and said they hoped that he died a horrible and painful death. So, yeah, I got a lot of posts on that. Mostly not. I think Huffington Post also shared it. So, yeah, I got quite a few views on that.
Representative Lord glosses over some of the most important things that I think are noteworthy. She mentions that you can't easily intimidate her. I think that Americans gravitate to political figures who are not easily intimidated. That was one of the powerful things about President Trump. They would say every sort of thing about him, and some of it may have been true, but he just never let it get to him. He kept moving ahead. They'd still be talking about the past issue when he's already bringing up new issues and creating dust storms around them. And so people are tired of the politicians who retreat at the first sign of conflict. I remember a sitting senator who lost re-election. I think he was running for governor of Virginia, and he used the word macaca. He was very popular, and the left began to beat him around the ears over the word as if the far worse words are not said every day. And he simply walked away from it and lost that election because people thought, what are you doing? You got to defend yourself. You got to fight. You got to be in there for the battle. And that's one of the things that I've always loved about Representative Lord is that she will not shy away from the battle over just a few punches that are thrown her way. Talk a little bit about that aspect of politics, and did it surprise you, and how do you personally deal with it?
I was very grateful that OAN picked it up. I was on OAN a couple nights ago. I just finally got the clip of that I could put on social media. And that was the main thing. I wasn't going to defend the receipt or what I said, because immediately people said, oh, you're buying alcohol, you're doing this, you're buying. And I'm like, I'm not buying Wagyu beef like the governor can afford to do, right? I'm not doing that. My receipt is very boring. So I didn't want to go and defend that. What got me initially, and I initially shut down the comments to just people I know, was the horrifying things that people were saying about my family and my dad. That was just crossed the line. And then I talked to some people about it. They said, nope, just let them say it so people can see how vile and ugly and bloodthirsty they are. I mean, these people, it was like sharks on a feeding frenzy, right? Because they can't, it's cognitive dissonance. They cannot say, you know what, the prices of food are good. They can't say that. Even the economist that is pretty left-leaning said, food prices are directly related to the bad policy of Biden. They said that. USDA said that our food prices are going to go up even more, maybe up to 8%. So this is a real thing that is happening. But instead of saying, you know what, Biden's doing a horrible job on food prices, I think what they did is they can't admit that. So they went after me and they just were extremely vile and disgusting. I think that's what I find the most shocking, and so many people too, right? So instead of just saying, you know, this is not a good policy, they came after me, of course it didn't work. The thing in politics, and the hardest thing is politics, is that everybody's trying to outshame everybody, right? Everybody's trying to shame people. You got to have a really thick skin in politics. People are going to say what they want to do. They have the right to do that. However, if you came into my office and said something horrific like that about my father, I would escort you and have you escorted out of the building, because there is a line. You have the right to free speech, but it doesn't mean you have the right to be stupid and come at me and say horrific things about my family, but they do. So you just roll with it. You just let them say what they need to say, and you address the fact that this is supposed to be the party of tolerance. And unfortunately, as you and I both know, there are some amazing, I mean, this state is made up of some of the most amazing moderate Democrats I have ever met in my life. The party's been hijacked, and the people that have hijacked it are extremely aggressive in their attacks, will not back off, and they don't care what line they cross. They're not the party of tolerance. They're the party of, we're going to beat you down, which didn't work, and keep coming at you. So what I did after that, I'm like, nope, I got some people to help me on this. I got out on OAN. I've got a press release coming out. I keep double, tripling down against Biden's economy, and I won't stop. As you know, I never stopped. Now I've got even bigger. I'm making bigger posts, including the president, and tagging him and everything. So I'm not about to back down.
Folks, we're listening to Representative Stephanie Lord, whose post just recently hit 8.7 million people and is still circulating. And I do appreciate the fact that you let the vile comments be seen, because I think that's our strongest argument. Not what we say, but letting people see what the other side says. When they see the hate and just the sheer aggressiveness of the left, progressive left, then I believe that your typical Democrat here in New Mexico is going to flinch away from that, and they're going to say, wait, this is not my value system. And so I think that our response to the State of the Union that Governor Sarah Huckabee gave after Biden's State of the Union really said it best. She said, people just want to see normal for a while. And Sarah Huckabee is the essence of normal, and Representative Stephanie Lord is the essence of normal. And so when we compare us as normal compared to the vileness and the anger and just the sheer hate of the left, it's easy to see why people will elect you and in a fairly difficult district. Santa Fe County, Torrance County, those areas were at one time heavy blue and now then Republican representing Democrats, because they appreciate what you stand for and how you act. Now, as we close this interview, one of the things that I've noted is that this is not your first big post. People are listening in large numbers to almost everything you say. Talk a little bit about those previous posts that let you believe that you could have a voice on a larger stage.
What it comes down to is posting consistently and posting about important issues, posting about things that people are talking about. The economy, I'm not going to back off on that one. I'm not going to back off on the high cost of food, because that all falls on Biden. And that's, wait, 3, 2, 1. That all falls on Biden. That's all him. He's the captain of the ship. He's the one that's setting the tone, and his policies are not working. But before that, I have always posted about very controversial things. I have tagged the governor of the state numerous times, because you have to get the messaging out to the people so that they can see this is what is really happening. This is what's going on. I've never backed away from Second Amendment issues. I didn't back away from CYFD issues. I mean, name and said the blood is on the governor's hand, because I presented 16 bills to help fix CYFD, and she made sure that those didn't go through. And since then, we've had 3 babies die of fentanyl overdose because of giving it back to the parents. So as long as these issues are important to me and important to people, I will still keep speaking about them. And you can't stop me from that. I mean, I'm never going to stop. This is why I got elected. I've always been a fighter. I will always be fighting for the people. I promised that I would. And here I am fighting for you on everyday issues.
Well, this is Representative Stephanie Lord that we've been talking to. And again, I think there's no more powerful way to close out than I will fight for you. You know, I had Democrats when I was in office in D.C. who would say the same thing. We appreciate that you fight your own party as hard as you fight the other party. We appreciate that you take on the issues and you're defending people against the government. We don't agree with you on many of your policies, but we're going to vote for you because we appreciate that you're a voice for the people and that you're pretty bipartisan in that voice, that if the Republicans are wrong, you'll say that. And so that wasn't something that was just casual, because I believe that we're elected by the people to represent the people. And they desperately want a voice that has the courage to speak up no matter what the kickback is. Many times out of town halls, I would get the comment from supporters, oh, I just wish that I would have spoken up for you in there. And I could tell you're really being attacked by the other side. But you did really fine. And I'm glad you didn't get angry. People don't like angry politicians. And so keep at it, Representative Lord, and don't get angry. Just keep being normal and natural and wholesome. I know that you're those things already. You're full of integrity. Post will reflect the truth of a matter, and people are desperately looking for truth. So keep up the great work. Again, today we've been visiting with Representative Stephanie Lord, who represents District 22 in the New Mexico State Legislature. Go on and follow her, repost the things that she puts up, because as you've heard here, she is going to post the truth no matter what people say back to her. So great work, and keep it up, Representative Stephanie Lord.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
If you've been listening to the program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. If you've missed part of the program today, it is available on the party's website as a podcast, but we would like to thank the local radio stations around New Mexico for playing this program. I get a great response from listeners around the state who are listening to their local stations and find this program. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again next week on Inside New Mexico.